Hi, this is Brad Friedman, and you're listening to an encore rebroadcast of The Brad Show on Raw Radio. Don't bother to call us, because ain't no one gonna answer your calls. Stuck right in the middle with you. Welcome to your friendly Brad Show here on the air via Raw Radio live tonight, sitting high atop our Hollywood Hills hideaway. We have one hell of a show for you. Once again, it's the unstoppable power of the citizen investigative blogger. That's me, Brad Friedman, backed by the goodwill and vigilance of at least six or seven of the greatest American freedom fighters in the land. Yes, it's the good citizens of the Internet, fueled by the indefatigable truth of Internet journalists from rawstory.com. The Brad Show is here tonight, cutting straight through the mainstream crap, live and on your airwaves. It's time to be the media once again, because yes, someone's got to. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger. Excuse me. With one hell of a show for you tonight, broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC radio network. You can listen via the live web stream if you like at bradshow.com, over at ibcradio.com, and please come participate with us in the bradblog.com open thread. Bradblog.com, where I think Winter Patriot has the open thread up and rolling. We want to hear from you tonight. And we're also one of our affiliates, by the way, down in Florida, WWPR 1490 in Bradenton, Tampa. You should know one of your congresswomen is going to be on later tonight. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to be with us. All right. Anyway, 7 to 11 p.m. Saturday nights, live every Saturday night, just about repeating, rebroadcasting 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. And let's see, tonight we want to try... we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. I got four amazing guests coming up, but I'm exhausted. I can't do all the heavy lifting, so you need to call in with some of your questions at 323-650-1286. You got that, Winter Patriot? Put it on the blog, 323-650-1286. You can try to email me, brad@bradshow.com. Maybe I'll notice, thanks in advance, by the way, before I forget, to our intrepid engineer tonight, Gregory Hayner, back for a second helping. You did great last week, by the way, Gregory. That's not your real name? What's your real name? Oh, you can't tell me. All right. Well, it all went pretty much perfectly last week, so expect nothing but trouble this week. Our infamous producer, the infamous Kat Lestrange, is back with us. Hi, Kat. How are you? Sitting in tonight for Jamie, who's out doing, I don't know what he's doing, videotaping a wedding or something. We have the lovely Desi Doyen screening call. No, she's not screening. Kat's screening. Desi is assistant. I don't know. She's doing something. Desi, good to have you here. And let's see, what else do I have to take care of here before we get to the show? Oh, I should mention last week, last Sunday, I was in Santa Monica with Bob Fitrakis from freepress.org, the author of the editor with Harvey Wasserman and Steve Rosenfeld of Did George W. Bush Steal America's 2004 Election? Essential Documents. It's a gorgeous book, over 700 pages. We have had a few of you who have taken advantage of the offer of $100. You can, which you can donate at bradblog.com or bradshow.com. We will send you a signed book by Mr. Fitrakis himself. It's a beautiful book. He's made a few more available for us because we've got an upcoming Brad Blogathon, thanks to the good Steve, and I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. Do you, Kat? Steve Veil? Steve Veal? Steve Vielli? I don't know. Dr. Steve. I think he's a doctor. I've seen it written all the time, but I've never said it out loud. So Dr. Steve is helping the Brad Bloggers organize a big old Brad Blogathon in 2 weeks, July 8th through 10 on the weekend. I'm telling you now because I think we're taking next weekend off. Are we? Kat? Yes, we're taking next weekend off. It's 4th of July. We're going to have a smashing rebroadcast with some great patriots for Independence Day weekend. So I'm giving you a heads up about the Brad Blogathon. I don't really know too much about it. These guys are running it, but I understand they're going to have guest bloggers like David Cobb is going to be guest blogging for us.
Raw Radio.
Once again, stuck in the middle with you. Happy Saturday night. Radio fans, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, live and on the air, coast to coast and around the globe via the IBC Radio Network. This is your Brad Show on Raw Radio. Yes, we've got your news agenda right here. Once again, it's the unstoppable power of the citizen investigative blogger, backed by the very goodwill and vigilance of at least six or seven of the greatest American freedom fighters in the land. And I do mean the greatest American freedom fighters in the land. Yes, it's the good citizens of the internet, fueled by the indefatigable truth of internet journalists from rawstory.com. We are cutting straight through the mainstream crap. Live on your airwaves, it's time to be the media once again, because someone has got to. And it looks like it's fallen to me and to, well, to a bunch of you folks out there in Brad Blogland who are throwing one unbelievable Brad Blogathon at www.bradblog.com. It's rather groundbreaking, actually, what you guys are doing, and I can't thank you enough for all of your effort out there. Beginning with Dr. Steve Veeley, who has really pulled this thing together and has spent quite a few sleepless nights, as I understand. He and Winter Patriot are doing an extraordinary job. Winter Patriot has been hosting all the open threads with all the guest bloggers who have sat in to help out at the Brad Blog. Amazing guys and girls like David Cobb, Green Party presidential candidate. He's been guest blogging. Larissa Alexandrovna from Raw Story. Josh Middledorf. John Amato from Crooks and Liars. Bob Kohler from Tribune Media Services. Bob Fetrakis from FreePress.org. Clint Curtis, whistleblower. Clint Curtis is actually, he's actually guest blogging, I think, tomorrow. So you can ask him your questions live at bradblog.com all weekend long. Chris Floyd from the Moscow Times and the St. Petersburg Times. He's live online. It's an incredible effort that all of you guys are doing to help keep the Brad Blog up and rolling. Help keep Brad Show up and rolling. Please stop on by bradblog.com. Participate in the traveling circus that we call the Brad Blogathon, going on all weekend long. So if you happen to be listening to this on Sunday for our rebroadcast, yep, it's going on right now too. So check it out. Join us in the Brad Blog open thread to discuss the show as it goes on live, or give us a call, 323-650-1286. They're going on right now in Congress. This hour, real shortly, we're going to have Times of London reporter Michael Smith, he of the original Downing Street memo story, the man who broke the story that could, who knows, bring down a president. He's going to be with us. We'll have him on the line from all the way across the pond in Great Britain. Also, John Brakey and Dr. David Griscom of Audit AZ on some remarkable election irregularities that they have found in Arizona. which could well be the Rosetta Stone for election fraud in this country. You're going to hear about that and some other amazing stuff that they have discovered about Republican, what do we call them? Republican operatives? Dirty tricksters? Nathan Sproul of Sproul and Associates. So we're going to hear about what they've done. Also, Bill Israel, a media professor at the University of Massachusetts. He's going to be here to give us some insight on this whole Karl Rove situation, because guess what? Bill is a friend of Karl Rove's. He's also a media guy and a professor, has worked with Karl Rove, so we're going to get some very interesting insight there. Some updates on the ongoing groundbreaking blogathon going on from some Brad Blog readers. I think Kira is going to be with us. And finally, a tribute to an American election reform hero who we lost this week. Very good friend of this program's, Andy Stevenson, for whom tonight's show is dedicated. Andy was a guest on our very first show. He helped us sell some ads, and he did so much more. And sadly, he lost his short but valiant fight against cancer this past Thursday night. So he's already missed. And we will have some of his appearance from our first show later on tonight. All right, we're going to get with Michael Smith shortly, very shortly here, but first I need to say that this portion of The Brad Show is made possible in part by HereticInc.com. When it comes to the world of political t-shirts, you'll find there's not a lot of variety out there. There's the anti-Bush apparel or cheap t-shirts emblazoned with Che Guevara for yuppies, but Heretic is a political t-shirt company that does things a little bit differently, and they have thus, in less than 8 months, become the fastest-growing t-shirt company on the Internet. Where others thoughtlessly throw up images of Che, Heretic's first design was Che's face with the words, "Suburban White Kids Unite," beneath it. And at HereticInc.com, there are over 30 t-shirt designs to choose from. I should add here, by the way, that Michael Draper of HereticInc.com, that's HERTICINC.com, has been incredibly generous in helping us with the Brad blogathon. He has helped us put together a store, along with Torqued over there and Jim Cyril, I think that's how you say it, Cyrilli. Peg C and a bunch of others. He has helped us get these Brad Blog t-shirts, which you can now get at the Brad Blog store. Check out the blogathon and you'll see. And I just wanted to thank Michael Draper especially for doing that. Beyond simply making t-shirts for consumption, Heretic's key to success has been its desire to give back to its core supporters, and that they have in spades this weekend with the Brad Blogathon. And the newest project Heretic has taken on is making shirts for blogs like us, TrueLiberal.com, or The Raw Story to raise money for this up-and-coming media. So if you're interested in purchasing shirts or have a group interested, go to HereticInc.com, HERTICINC.com, for all of the details. All right, Michael Smith is going to be with us here. Michael Smith writes on defense and security issues for the London Sunday Times. Oh, you may have heard of Michael Smith. He left school at 15 to join the British Army, and after 15 years, most of which was in the intelligence corps, he joined the BBC, where he became a journalist. He has since written for a number of newspapers, most notably the London Daily Telegraph, where he covered the wars in the Balkans, Afghanistan, and Iraq. He's an expert on special operations forces and intelligence with extremely good contacts, yeah, I'll say, inside Britain's intelligence and special forces community and a track record of breaking stories that have previously been kept top secret. This was graphically demonstrated, of course, in his coverage of the Downing Street memos, which he broke exclusively in the London Sunday Times. Downing Street memos? What's that? I've never heard of it. I read the New York Times. Never heard of it. Anyway, he has written a number of books, including The Spying Game, The Secret History of British Espionage, The UK's number one bestseller, Station X, The Codebreakers of Bletchley Park, and Foley, The Spy Who Saved 10,000 Jews, which led to Israeli recognition of the former MI6 officer Frank Foley as, quote, righteous among nations, the same award granted to Oscar Schindler. Michael joins us tonight from England, across the pond, where it's very late, after midnight out there. Michael, your time, so we really appreciate it. Welcome to The Brad Show.
Thanks very much.
Really glad to have you there, have you here this week. We had you booked on with the help, by the way, of Larissa Alexandrovna, our very good friend here on the Brad Show. A few days, about Tuesday or Wednesday prior to the bombings, and I want to talk to you, of course, about the Downing Street memo, but with the bombings in London this week, obviously, I'd like to get some insight from you. First, how are you doing, and were you anywhere near any of these bombings?
I'm sorry, could you just have your voice turned up a bit, because I can't really hear you.
We will try. My apologies, and I'll speak up and I'll yell as loud as I can. Is that anybody?
So what was the question about the bombing?
I wanted to get an idea first how you're doing and if you were anywhere near any of the bombings this week.
No, I wasn't. I was out of town on that day, so I was quite lucky. I wasn't a witness to anything. Obviously, I've been involved in some of the coverage for the Sunday Times, but it's very strange over here. I think for people elsewhere who suffer from bomb attacks, because we had a long IRA campaign, bombing campaign, and I think people are sort of used to bombing attacks. So it's sort of life gets back to normal fairly quickly. It's surprising.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. You guys certainly have more experience with that sort of thing than we do out here. Obviously, 9/11 changed everything, and I know that it certainly wasn't the same sort of scale. But, when that happened, the Americans, they rallied behind George Bush. And I'm wondering, I know that Tony Blair's popularity was not terrific prior to the bombings. Do you suppose this will have any change on the...
Yeah, it's short term, yeah. It will, because, clearly his speech was a good speech at the G8 summit. He appeared to be a statesman. He reflected the views of the population about terrorism. And... I think, in any situation like this, as, of course, the American public rallied around George Bush after 9/11, people do rally around. But I think over here it would be a very short-term effect. I don't think that long-term it will have a great deal of effect on his reputation over here.
Do you suppose it will affect the way Britons view the war in Iraq, which I understand is not very popular right now out there?
It's not quite the same as the situation in America, I have to say, because it's not a major issue at the moment over here. I mean, there are an awful lot of people who opposed the war even before the war started over here, and quite a large minority. I think the figures probably match the figures in the US in terms of people who no longer believe that they were sent. That our troops were sent into a sensible war, and are suspicious of the motives and the way we were taken to war. But in fact, it's not so much, even amongst that group of people, it's not so much of an issue as it is at the moment in America.
When you say it's not so much of an issue, meaning we're more concerned about it, there's more anti-war feeling here than there?
I don't know that there's more anti-war feeling. I just think that... quite apart from anything else, our soldiers aren't being killed in the sort of numbers that American soldiers are being killed in. Where we are stationed, where our troops are stationed, it is pretty stable for political reasons that have nothing much to do with the way the difference between American and British troops, frankly. It's just more stable in the south because that was anti-Saddam area, and the mainly Sunni insurgents are not going to get much backing down in the Shia area. So it's not having that same effect for us on our television screens. We're not seeing daily pictures of our own soldiers dying. And although, as I say, I think the figures are probably very similar in terms of opposition now to the idea of having gone to war, we're there and we've got to sort it out. And there's been an election here over... which has sort of washed it away. There was a lot of opposition in the run-up to the election, seriousness of some of the things that are said in the documents than the New York Times had. Three documents, one of which was actually a replica of one of the documents from the first six, the same document, rather. And And the other two were the Downing Street memo, the minutes of that famous July 23rd meeting, and the briefing paper written for the well, the members of the War Cabinet, so not that, just Cabinet ministers, who were attending that meeting.
And that well, the one that's become, I suppose, the most famous, the briefing paper, the Dear Love minutes, that was published when originally in Europe?
May 1st we published it, which was 4 days before the general election. I mean, the timing of the release couldn't be better, and for some reason newspapers over there have suggested that's a reason not to publish it in their newspapers, because the timing was obviously, you know, political is their argument. Well, the timing was largely determined by me and the way the election campaign was going, because I'd had those documents for a few weeks. And apart from that, of course, any source who gives you secret material is doing it for a reason. They have some reason. It's not necessarily the same reason that you would share, but they want to get something into the public domain. A document like that, as far as I'm concerned, is palpably in the public interest and palpably should be published so that the public can read the sort of rather horrific things that were in it.
Right. Well, I agree. And, well, was there a time, how long a time between when you received that that memo and then when you actually published it in the London Sunday Times?
A couple of weeks, 3 weeks maximum, I would think.
And was it, did you purposely wait until just a few days before the election?
I purposely waited because, quite apart from anything else, I've always thought that if you've got a document like that, if you've got a piece of information which is important, you should put as much effort into researching it and making sure that everything around it fits. Hold on a minute, please.
All right. We're
You should put as much effort as you can into researching it. You don't just rush into press with it, because unless people's lives are at risk, because
right.
the you know, no one else has got it. You want to make sure your story is as accurate as it possibly can be, which is why it took so long for me to publish it. Also, the legality issue, the previous week, the legality issue about, you know, whether the war was legal or not, which was a key issue over here in our election campaign.
Hold that thought, Michael. We got to take a quick break. That's what we got to do in America. I hope you understand. You're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio. We'll be back with Michael Smith.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
Gentilly Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentilly. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentilly.com. The Lou Gentilly Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street. But high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed, all talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentili Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentili is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investor. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation. Stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
You need advertising. Without it, no one will hear about your business. Radio is the way to go. Advertising on radio is much more affordable than newspapers, magazines, or television. Advertise your website, product, or service to intelligent, savvy, and moneyed listeners of a 24/7 talk radio network. The IBC Radio Network is the way to go. For more information, call 509-466-3413. That's 509-466-3413. The IBC Radio Network, the future of radio. Paul Booth, Ed Balkley, John Carpenter, Kevin Clement, Roger Corman, Don Coscarelli, Wes Craven, Guillermo del Toro, Mick Garris, Lou Gentili, Stuart Gordon, Sid Haig, Toby Hooper, Lloyd Kaufman, Alfredo Leon, Lucky McKee, Robert Parigi, George Romero, Eli Roth, Tom Savini, David J. Scull, Mike Verani, Joe Wolf, Rob Zombie. These are the people on the Creative Advisory Board of the Horror Channel. Are you a horror fan? Coming soon, the only 24-hour cable and satellite network dedicated to horror fans around the world. For more information, visit their website at www.horrorchannel.com. That's www.horrorchannel.com. Please call your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
Attention pet owners, how would you like your dog or cat to behave instantly on command? Now you can with a pet trainer. So easy to use, it's like having a remote control for your pet. No electric zaps or shocks. This simple handheld device uses safe and effective ultrasonic sound that commands your pet's attention like magic. Here's how it works. Say your dog jumps on your best furniture. Just press the button to emit the sound. As he snaps to attention, give the command to get down. As soon as he obeys, praise him for the good behavior, and that's it. Veterinarian and endorsed, Pet Trainer is the humane way to train pets, whether it's non-stop barking, chewing shoes, pestering house guests, you name it. Plus, it's the animal-friendly way to deal with unwelcome strays or neighbors' dogs. Satisfaction guaranteed, so call now to try it risk-free. Pet Trainer, just $19.95, plus shipping, uses 9-volt battery not included. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-418-8877. That's 1-800-418-8877. 1-800-418-8877.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
We can live with winning and losing. We cannot live with fraud and stealing.
Tell them.
Alert the media and tell them here's my latest quote. 100,000 voters in Ohio want to re-vote. I got some news that's steady messing with my head's friends. Election day 2004, another shame. They thought that people wouldn't organize and vote and such. They followed Jim Crow's law and disenfranchised us. Now I'm marching down to Washington and rolling the bus. Jesse Jackson told us push, man, and that's what's up.
All right, you're listening to the Brad Show on Raw Radio. With my guest this hour, Vincent Fry, Executive Director of the Voting Rights Institute of the DNC on their report released just this week, Democracy at Risk, the 2004 election in Ohio. Okay, we talked a lot about, well, a little bit about, and actually I could talk to you, Vincent, for 3 or 4 hours on this, but...
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
The massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
The danger to our country is grave.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes. The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb, and with fissile material, could build one within a year.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
In a speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from Iraq weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Oh, yeah. They won't be proven wrong. This is Brad Friedman back here on the Brad Show via Raw Radio. We're speaking with Michael Smith of the Times of London, the London Sunday Times, the man who broke the original Downing Street memo to the world. It took a few more weeks before it made its way across the pond, apparently, in this country. Media had some trouble, and still does, really, reporting on the importance of this memo. Michael, are you still with us there? Uh-oh. Michael, are you with us? Wow, it's been that kind of a day. We're going to call Michael back. Okay. Let me give you some idea, actually, Michael Smith, because I realized that we didn't cover in the first part of this exactly for those who don't know what the Downing Street minutes are. They were originally called the Downing Street memo, but in fact they are minutes. They were from a high-level meeting in the UK in July, actually from July 23rd of 2002. We're coming up on the third year anniversary for that. And in this country, there's going to be a lot of events on July 23rd. We're going to talk about that later with Congressman Sheila Jackson Lee, but what the memo said, the minutes actually said, was that after a meeting that the Blair administration had with the Bush administration, they determined that the Bush administration was going to fix the facts and intelligence around the policy of toppling Saddam Hussein. That the Bush administration had decided, hey, man, that's what we're going to do. That would have been about 8 months, at least 8 months prior to the actually going to war and actually going to Congress and asking for authority to do that, because that's what we do in this country. In theory, it's the Congress that declares war, not the president. But apparently, these guys had already decided 8 months before the war actually launched that that's what they were going to do. And this memo seems to indicate that that's exactly what they did do. And no one has disputed the veracity of these documents. They are legitimate. Neither the Blair administration nor the Bush administration has said that they are not real. You say we have Michael. Is Michael back on the line? Michael Smith, you back with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'm sorry about that. I was actually took the opportunity to catch folks up on what the heck the Downing Street minutes are for those who don't know in this country, believe it or not, because it's astounding that these haven't gotten the kind of coverage that I would have expected. Now, at the top of, as we came out of the break there, we played a bunch of clips from the Bush administration talking about Saddam has WMD. We know he has WMD. We, you know, there's no doubt about it. We're not going to be proven wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Well, apparently they were proven wrong. So despite what we see in these minutes, is it possible, and I realize this is your opinion, but is it possible that they just had it wrong, that they really did believe that there were weapons of mass destruction, or do these Downing Street documents tell us differently?
No, I think the documents show that they did believe that there were weapons of mass destruction. And I don't think there's any doubt that they did believe that there were weapons of mass destruction. Now, the figures that certainly that some of the American figures were wildly inaccurate, and people beforehand were saying, intelligence officials in America and Britain were saying that we just don't know. We think he might have some weapons of mass destruction. You can't take a chance, but actually we just don't know.
And in the documents themselves, it actually says that the case was thin. Now, was that Dearlove's impression?
I'm sure it was Dearlove's impression, because actually it was Jack Straw, the foreign secretary, who was saying this. And Dearlove would be the guy giving Jack Straw the information. So I think it was generally accepted over here that the evidence was thin. I mean, if you look at the much maligned dossier, and some of the language in it is very, very loose. When it talks about, in the actual text of the document, when it talks about how many weapons, chemical weapons or biological weapons Saddam Hussein had, it's the closest it gets is there may be 1.5 tons of BX gas. Well, that appeared in the JIC report that the dossier was based on. Maybe isn't strong enough, of course, and as a result, Downing Street actually asked the intelligence services if they could upgrade that, if they could take away the maybe, which made it very weak, and the intelligence services said no. If you look at the October National Intelligence Estimate, produced October 2002
by the CIA, yeah,
in order basically to get Congress off President Bush's back over weapons of mass destruction, it says there are probably 500 tons of chemical weapons in Iraq. Well, there's a very big difference between that. So I think people thought there must be some chemical weapons, biological weapons perhaps, but they weren't really sure how many, and certainly I don't think over here anyone thought there were 500 tons.
Well, we're speaking with Michael Smith of the Times, the London Sunday Times, or the Times of London. I need to get that right one way or the other. Has anybody asked Jack Straw for comment on these memos, or at least I'm sure you've asked, has he given any comment?
No, I mean, the official position over here is that they never comment on memos. Now, Mr. Blair has been asked on a few occasions, twice actually in Washington, once on the television interview, and then at the White House press conference. That White House press conference was the first time he'd reacted, there had been any real official reaction from London to the Downing Street memo itself. That was the first time, and it was a non-denial denial. He said that the facts were not being fixed around the intelligence, but he didn't deny that Sir Richard Dearlove had said that. And as I heard you say earlier, these documents have been authenticated. And indeed, Mr. Blair was asked about the Downing Street memo in the House of Commons about 10 days ago, And his answer indicated that it was a genuine document. He just said, look, we moved on after that document was written, and we went to the UN, and we got a UN vote, so that document is irrelevant.
Yeah,
but,
of
course it isn't.
Yeah, it was interesting about his answer there, and I believe that he said that the concerns were rubbish because we went to the UN after the after those minutes. But interestingly enough, you guys, and I can't remember if it was you or Larissa's, one of Larissa's stories over at rawstory.com, but I think that was the day then that you guys came out and said, had another document which said that they intended to go to the UN to try to wrong foot Saddam. So
Was one of the September Daily Telegraph documents, and it was written by Sir Christopher Mayer, who was then our ambassador to the US, and he'd had Paul Wolfowitz, who was of course an assistant secretary of state, deputy defense secretary.
Wasn't he the fellow that was
the Iraq War? He'd been over for lunch in the ambassador's residence, Sunday lunch, and Sir Christopher was writing back to London explaining that he'd explained to Mr. Wolfowitz that Britain would be willing to take part, but there had to be a clever plan to sort it all out, and that had to involve wrong-footing Saddam over the weapons inspector.
And that then means that when he uses, when Blair had suggested that the minutes don't mean anything because we went to the UN, to me that it sounds like they went to wrongfoot him, and I don't think that gets him out of this
absolutely,
at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the briefing paper for the Downing Street memo, for the Downing Street meeting, that July 23rd meeting, says categorically that the Prime Minister agreed back in April 2002, when he went to see Bush at Crawford, that the UK would back military action to achieve regime change. It says regime change is illegal under our interpretation of the international law. It is therefore necessary, and these are its words, the briefing paper written by civil servants in a considered way, to create the conditions that would make it legal. So, as you're saying, in fact, when they went to the UN, it was nothing to do with averting war, as they keep saying, and indeed Mr. Bush and Mr. Blair repeated during that White House press conference the other month. It wasn't anything to do with averting war. It was in order to get an excuse for war, in order to get that resolution, that those demands from the UN Security Council that would allow them to wrong-foot Saddam. They wanted him to disobey the demands that were being made on him. And, of course, he didn't actually do that, but still they went to war anyway.
Yeah.
Hi, this is James Arthur Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality, all without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here on Feet to the Fire. Feet. Sunday evenings, 8 to 11 Eastern. Fire. Live on the IBC Radio Network.
It's no secret that the trick to making big money on Wall Street is finding out about a company and pre-positioning yourself before it gets discovered. Check out Viper Networks Incorporated, ticker symbol VPER. Viper Networks is a diversified technology development company that markets innovative products and services. Viper is becoming widely known for its VPhone, a revolutionary product for making telephone calls over the internet. With the VPhone, you can make crystal clear international and long-distance calls for the price of a local call. Computer-to-computer calls cost only a penny per minute. VPhone connects easily to any personal computer with simple plug-and-play technology. As with all investments, you should consult with a financial advisor before getting involved. This announcement is paid for by VPER and is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. Learn all about Viper Networks by visiting their website at www.vipernetworks.com. That's www.vipernetworks.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com. Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. Visit their website to learn more about these products at life-enthusiast.com.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com.
In 2004, IBC had a major hard drive failure on a computer that housed all of our audio commercial backups. I thought we were going to have to shell out big bucks. Until I stumbled across a little company claiming their software could do what the $1,000 companies could do. Well, it worked. Get data back. Try a demo today and stop searching for high-priced solutions. Visit runtime.org. That's runtime.org.
Is your name written in the Bible code? Is your past, present, and future encoded in ancient scriptures? Find the answers with CodeFinder Millennium Edition Bible Code Software. Discover for yourself the enigmatic phenomenon that is the Bible code. Visit our website now and gain instant access to the world's number one ranked Bible code software, CodeFinder, used by thousands of researchers worldwide. Find us at www.codefinder.us. That's www.codefinder.us.
The Lou Gentile Show is a progressive radio talk show that includes paranormal, alternative, unusual, and other than mainstream topics. Hi, this is Lou Gentile. Join me Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the IBC Radio Network, where we explore ghosts, UFOs, unexplained phenomena, and the paranormal. Check out our website, www.lougentile.com. The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio with an edge.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter. Not worth fighting for.
Oh yeah, we're here fighting for every vote on the Brad Show with our last few minutes here with Vincent Fry, Executive Director of the Voting Rights Institute, on their report, Democracy at Risk, the 2004 election. We have just a few minutes. Vincent, we still got him?
Absolutely.
There you are. Okay. Real quick, I want to hit a few things. Here, I asked prior to the break, you talked about, in the report, they talked about touchscreen votes, that vote hopping, that folks trying to vote for John Kerry on touchscreen machines, and the vote would automatically jump to George Bush. We heard a lot of reports about that. There were massive hearings, and I think the largest number of folks that ever testified under oath in hearings in Columbus, tons of people talking about that. Were you able to find a single instance of anybody reporting that they voted for George Bush? They tried to vote for George Bush, but it came out...
Now I can understand why you were hot, 'cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame, tried to tell us it was all the same. But now the years roll by and our kids... kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. Those WMD you promised on TV, hey, admit it, you figured it wrong. So I'm taking my country back.
All right, you're listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio. Back for our final few minutes here with Michael Smith of the London Sunday Times. Going to find out if he's going to be breaking anything here in tomorrow's paper, which is probably already on the stands out there. But real quickly, one thing I want to clear up, Mr. Smith. In the original Downing Street document, it says that the facts were being facts and intelligence were being fixed around the policy. Now, it was maddening. I saw you a week or two ago. I think it was on MSNBC Hardball. They did a special. You were on for a few minutes, and then a senator or someone came up after you and said, oh, fixed means something completely different in the UK, that fixed doesn't mean fixed. Can you, and you were already off the show, and I wanted to strangle someone. Can you clear that up? Does fixed mean fixed in Great Britain?
Fixed means fixed. I mean, fixed as in fixing a race, fixing an election, fixing the intelligence to match the policy. And that's what it was. That's what he was talking about. I don't know anyone over here who thinks it meant anything other than that. And I mean, we're the English.
Yeah.
So we're on this side of the Atlantic. So I think we're the ones who know, you know, what it means. But I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that about that show, because actually, it wasn't any senators. It was James Woolsey, the former head of the CIA, and Raoul Margaret.
Yeah.
Both of them being signed up members to the Project for a New American Century. So, not much balance there, boys.
No. Well, that's what has come of our media. Speaking of which, let's move quickly to Fox News, which is most decidedly not does not offer much balance. That's owned by Rupert Murdoch, who also owns the Times of London. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And so why do we have this, what I will call the Republican propaganda network out here? You got owned by Murdoch, and your paper owned by Murdoch comes out with this document, which would seem to hurt Bush a great deal. How do you explain that? I can't imagine Fox breaking that memo out here.
Well, you'd have to talk to Fox about their coverage. All I can tell you is our coverage is distinctly unbiased. We don't, you know, I mean, obviously at election time we would say who we think people should vote for. But and in our opinion pieces and in the editorial there will be obvious bias and partisan areas, as there are in any newspaper editorial. But on our news pages, we publish good stories, and the way to get a story into the Sunday Times is for it to be a good story. And I can assure you, Rupert Murdoch does not intervene in any way whatsoever. He allows his editor to get on with the job and doing his job superbly well, I think.
Well, that's good to know. Certainly there's a different belief about him here, but I do realize that
I work for him.
Yes, I know. So
no, but what I say is genuinely true. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, no.
Ultimately, he's my boss. He doesn't interfere with what the paper writes.
I am glad to hear that. And I guess perhaps we could blame it more on Roger Ailes or something out here, who runs the runs the Fox News Network, because there is nothing like fairness, nothing like balance on that Fox News Network. And I had actually hoped to play some clips from how they treated the London bombing out there. Some really awful stuff.
Yeah, I read about that. That was pretty appalling.
Yeah, it really was. And boy, you know what? We're running up on the top of the hour. I'm going to have to let you go, so we can't talk about that. Hopefully, we'll have you back at some point in the future. We can get into that a little bit. Michael Smith from the...
Is your name written in the Bible?